not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
We have to rise above challenges and find strength in the midst of adversity.
We are in a battle of good versus evil.
Satan is the father of confusion.
I don't care what they do to me. I'm going to keep calling them out.
They're berserk trying to disarm Americans, and we need to push back.
I'm glad you're fighting for America.
There's always hope.
Relish the opportunity to be an outsider, because it's the outsiders who change the world.
Perhaps you were born for such a time as this. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Faith and Freedom. I'm Chimene Nugent. Before we get started with another amazing show with amazing guests, I want to ask a favor of you. You know, we have very few opportunities to let our voices be heard. Thank you to Real America's Voice for doing that. We now have a new sponsor right here on Faith and Freedom, and it's called Spiro Gear. You've heard me talk about Spiro Gear before. If you don't want big tech to listen to everything you say and track your every move, go to SpiroGear.com and get what Ted and I use. They're called Faraday bags, and we put them on our cell phones and put them on our iPads. And those of us who used them on October 4th were not subjected to any annoying and possibly nefarious emergency broadcast tests. So, you know, when I was growing up, we had emergency broadcast tests, and it was for like 30 seconds, and this one was for 30 minutes. Anyways, if you're skeptical like I am about big tech and you want to protect yourself, go to Spiro Gear, S-P-E-R-O, SpiroGear.com, and use the promo code Faith and Freedom to get a discount. Take a look at this.
Well, this is Texas. We're going to hit oil right here.
What they were selling was hope. And widows were the mother's milk of the petroleum hustle. And now that they had a well...
We can't bring it in.
We're crooks. We've conned all those old ladies.
You want me to walk away from it? I'm an oil man! God's own bounty.
Oil.
Black gold.
Amen.
Amen.
We are so blessed to have actor, director, and my friend, Kevin Sorbo, joining us now. Kevin, how are you?
I'm doing great. It's good to see you again. And say hi to Ted for me, please.
I will. So tell us about this film. I'm so excited about it.
It's a wonderful, wonderful true story. I'm going to pop that up there real quick. It's called Miracle in East Texas. And it's a true story set in 1930 about the largest oil find in the history of the world. And it was about two con guys, played by myself and John Ratzenberger, that would go through Oklahoma and Texas wooing widows out of their money on fake oil wells. They would sell 500% of the shares, declare a dry hole, and then move on to the next town. Well, they get to Kilgore, Texas, they strike oil, totally by accident. Of course, they get arrested because, number one, you can't have 500% of anything. And all the widows, the word gets out that these scoundrels have been arrested. All the widows come down for the trial to see these guys basically hang. And it's not only the miracle that the oil gets discovered, and the oil does get found. It's the miracle that happens afterwards with these two guys. And it's a true story, which I absolutely love. It was written by Dan Gordon. Dan Gordon's an Oscar-nominated writer. He wrote The Hurricane, Denzel Washington. They were writer for Kevin Costner. He wrote 60 episodes of Highway to Heaven for Michael Landon. Just a great writer. And it's just a wonderful story. It's won 10 film festivals, everything from Best Comedy to Best Family Movie, judges' favorite, audience favorite. So PG rated. Hollywood doesn't do that anymore. And this movie has love and laughter and hope and redemption and faith, things that Hollywood used to do. This is not a woke movie. It's not a cancel culture movie. It's a fun, great movie. And it's only this weekend on Sunday and Monday, August 29th and 30th. Go to SorboStudios.com. Sign up right now. If we can fill up the theaters right now, we can get more days. Now, the reason why I say it's only two days, we're an independent movie. This is a $3 million movie. That's catering budget in Pirates of the Caribbean.
Right.
We got to compete against Hollywood's $300 million movies with a $100 million advertising budget. We got to rely on you to get the word out for us. And I thank you for this.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, you brought up Hollywood. Hollywood is dead. And I want to ask you, how has leaving Hollywood not only helped your career, but also, most importantly, your faith?
Well, I think I'm the originator of why it's called cancel culture, because I got canceled in Hollywood before anybody else even knew what the term was. My agent and manager a dozen years ago said, we can't work with you anymore because you're Christian and you're conservative. Apparently, that's being a double leper in Hollywood. And I find it funny because they're the ones who scream for tolerance, right? Be tolerant of what we're doing, you know, freedom of speech. Well, we all know they're hypocrites in a one-way street. They do exactly what Hollywood, I mean, Washington, D.C. does. They're all just a bunch of hypocrites. And so for me, when we formed SorboStudios.com with my wife, Sam, we just said, let's keep doing the movies that we wanted to do ever since we both wanted to be actors, the movies Hollywood used to do. So we're doing movies. They don't always have to be like a faith-based movie. I think if you're an atheist, that's a pretty strong faith to believe in absolutely nothing. But what a horrible way to go through life with no hope. But anyway, for me, it's been a blessing because I've shot over, probably shot over 50 movies in the last 12 years. And not only through my Sober Studios, but other independent people coming to me and asking me to be in their movies as well.
Well, I got to tell you, it's so inspiring to see. And you said faith-based films. It's just films without the gore and gratuitous sex.
They're family-friendly. Family-friendly.
Yes, I think that's better. So you mentioned your wife. Let's talk about your beautiful wife. She's in the film as well.
She's right there. We got her in there?
Yes, so she's in there.
Expected as well. Then we got Sam's in there, and we got John Ratzenberger over here, and then we got Lou Gossett Jr. right there. It's that a wonderful, and it's just, she does great in this. She's got a wonderful part, and at the end of the movie in the courtroom scene, she kind of steals the movie. So I think people will love that scene when she's on the witness stand, because I play the guy that conned her out. And but I'm not going to give everything away here, but it's a pretty cool story. And it's a true story. That's the amazing thing about it. It's a true story. And Sam did a little more digging on the history of these guys, because we looked at the history up to then. We met people that knew the story of these guys in Texas. But it was a dozen years later during World War II when America got involved in that after the bombing of Pearl Harbor. Where the oil from East Texas is the oil that kept all the Allies' tanks and trucks working in Europe. While the Germans were completely surrounded by all the Allies, they ran out of everything. And Winston Churchill said it was the oil from East Texas that won the war for the Allies.
I love it. So yeah. it's really awesome that this is giving an opportunity to independent filmmakers and screenwriters. What other projects do you have going on? And what, this two-part question, and what advice would you give to independent filmmakers and screenwriters to getting started?
Well, I've got a number of projects still going on. I've been shooting a number. I've got four movies in post-production right now. I'm about to start another one that up in Flint, Michigan. It's a true story about a woman. It's called Without a Doubt. It's a true story about a woman who's in stage 4 of her breast cancer, and she was 7 months pregnant. And she would not get an abortion for it. I play her doctor in it. And because the cancer was so advanced, she couldn't move. Last 2 months, she was pretty much just bedridden because her bones were breaking, because everything was just, she could just move an arm and break a bone in her arm. So she wanted the baby. The baby was born healthy. Of course, she passes away, but it's a wonderful, touching story. I've got another one that I've got a faith-based Western that I'm going to be shooting soon with Neil McDonough. Neil McDonough's in the movie I did called Left Behind, Rise of the Antichrist. A lot of people know Neil. And it's called Wicked and the Righteous. And it's a Cain and Abel story. It's violent. It's going to be probably R-rated. It's violent like Yellowstone is. But it is a faith-based. It's a Cain and Abel story set in the storyline of a Western. And then I've got two documentaries coming out. Speaking, you know, I'm bringing up Israel now because I was just in Israel not that long ago filming this documentary, and it's crazy what's happening there right now. But it deals with the Ark of the Covenant and seeing the flow of it through archaeological digs, and that's called The Quest for the Throne. I still have one more week of filming to do in Houston at a library where a lot of this artifacts have been taken to. And then I've got another documentary, a follow-up to Before the Wrath, is a documentary I did 2 years ago with Brent Miller and Ingenuity Films. And it's a wonderful documentary on the Second Coming. But the one that's coming out at Easter, which you and I will talk about when it gets close to Easter, and it deals with the Last Supper, and it's called Eating with the Enemy.
Wow. You got a full plate. So we got a minute left. Okay. Give me some advice for aspiring independent filmmakers, because there are kids these days that are bored, and there's no reason with an iPhone, with a laptop, you can't get involved in making movies.
Well, you know, get off these games you guys are playing all the time. Yeah. I mean, 3, 4, 5, 6 hours a day. Do something constructive. It's fun to play games, okay? I get it. But get off your butts and do something. I mean, the internet is the Wild West. There's good things about it, but there's a lot of evil about it as well. And, you know, if you're looking for something, a chance to do something in your lives, look at what Steven Spielberg, that's how he did it with a old little 8mm thing back in the day. You got iPhones now that are more powerful than what was on the Apollo 13, for crying out loud, you know? So get out there and do something really good and do something constructive, because a lot of people want to do it. I say stop letting people set your limitations, especially yourself.
Right. I love that. All right, Kevin Sorbo, go ahead. Go for
it. My latest book came out, The Test of Lionhood. People got to see it. It's from Brave Books, okay? It's about letting kids be kids. Let kids grow up to be kids. Let boys grow up to be strong men and strong fathers and strong men of morality. You don't have to be built like Dwayne Johnson, okay, to be a strong male. Embrace masculinity. I'm sick of what they've done to making men women and women men. We're not the same. There's some things that are great about us together, but there's some things that we do better than women do, and there are things that women do better than men do. That's what makes a good nuclear family right there.
That's Bravebooks.com. Kevin, Bravebooks.com and Sorbostudios.com.
That is it.
That's it. Kevin Sorbo, thank you so much for joining me. Tell your lovely wife I said hello.
I will. Thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
God bless. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Hey, Ted. You know, we are lucky because we live off the land.
Venison.
And we hunt. We are bow hunters, but not everybody can. And I don't know how you feel about this, but we don't like to buy meat from the store. We don't want to encourage anybody to buy meat from the store.
It's unsafe.
It's unsafe. It's got antibiotics, chemicals, mRNA in it. But we did find this beef that is freaking amazing.
I'm not a big fan of beef, but I've become a big fan of beef. It's the best we've ever had.
It is. And if you...
What's it called?
Switch to them. Go for the beef with Never Ever Label. But if you really want to go, I'm looking at Coco in the back. If you really want to try it, check out Switch to America with Shemaine.
What's Switch that? To America with Shemaine. I switch to America with Shemaine.com. Switch to America with Shemaine.com. The best beef, the most delicious, the healthiest beef in the world.
We love it, and we know you will too.
Relish the opportunity to be an outsider, because it's the outsiders who change the world.
Perhaps you were born for such a time as this. While all eyes are on the devastating conflict in the Middle East, we've got to remember that we have enemies elsewhere who would like to do nothing more than to take advantage of this situation. Security professionals are warning the U.S. that a war with China and Russia could take place in the very near future. Could China use this conflict to help them tip the scales? Joining us live now to discuss is Epoch Times investigative reporter Nan Su. Nan, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So what is the final war, and how did it start with Wuhan?
Well, the final war is, are you talking about our newly released documentary?
I'm talking about that, yeah, the newly released documentary on Epoch Times, but also in general. It seems like we are living, China's about to make a chess move right now. And yeah, I watched a little bit of that documentary, and it did start with Wuhan. So I wondered, I know you contributed to that documentary on Epoch Times called The Final War, and it did start with Wuhan, didn't it?
Well, Wuhan, I think it could serve as a warning call, a wake-up call. And we do have a lot more latest update after that documentary was released. For example, on August 16th, the Department of Defense actually released a biowarfare gesture review, which gave a lot more update. That DOD report actually claim that the United States right now is at a pivotal moment that facing unprecedented multi-domain biowar threat from China, Russia, and North Korea. And China, it's the number one priority. It's the top concern. And that report mentioned about that the China, you know, the Chinese military and Chinese state-owned media, they have been openly discussing about biology as a new domain of war. Now, what I have found is in the past decade of time that a lot of Chinese media and military think tank, they openly talk about the bio warfare. For example, I quote you a typical example back in 2014, PLA Daily, you know, PLA, People's Liberation Army, that's the formal name of a Chinese military. PLA Daily that actually published an article, it talk about genetic warfare. So they talk about developing weapons to target this very specific racial group. The article says that, you know, among different racial groups, the genetic system are pretty much the same. But however, there is a tiny difference among different racial groups in their genetic system, about 0.1% to 0.3%, which will make a different racial group vulnerable to different pathogens, toxins, and virus. And the conclusion was, spending $50 million to develop a biowarfare weapon system will be much more effective than spending more than $100 billion to develop a nuclear weapon system when it comes to winning a war. That's 2014.
So what is the demographic that they're going for?
Those articles, they don't give you that detail. But keep in mind, United States, it's always the number one enemy of the Chinese regime. You go back to look at, to watch the movie, the Final War, you know, Chinese communist regime actually had, they made a 100-year plan. It's a 100-year plot from 1949 when they took over control of China until 2049. They want to take down the leader of the free world, the United States.
So there's been obviously a lot of talk of a potential conflict between China and the United States sometime in the very near future. And there were theories that China wants to get the U.S. into three or maybe even four wars to weaken our military and to distract us. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, that's been openly discussed by, you know, many China's strategic think tanks. They say, you know, because Chairman Xi's priority is always to unify Taiwan. They call it unified Taiwan. We call it the invasion of Taiwan. Now, when will be the good time for the Chinese military to invade Taiwan? They talk about the strategy. They say if there are three different wars or conflicts taking place in different area of the world, that could be the best time to Chinese military to invade Taiwan. Now, they talk about, number one, it's a conflict between Russian and NATO, and number two, and conflict in which Arab countries against Israel, and number three, North Korea against South Korea and Japan. So they say that would be the perfect time for China to invade Taiwan.
And so they have also created and helped back our enemies so that, again, we are even more distracted and they can make their next chess move.
Yes, it's true. Now, go back to that biowarfare thing. I'm not sure. You mentioned Wuhan Lab, but actually, the DOD gesture review also talk about China's military-civil fusion program, which is for Chinese regime designed for their universities, academic institutions to come to the United States to get the civilian technology and go back to give to China's military for military research purpose. Now, Wuhan Lab, it's an example, actually, of China's military and civilian fusion program. That lab actually have more military research program than its civilian program, which was why, you know, I'm not sure if people remember January 23rd of 2020, that was the day they locked down the city of Wuhan. And 2 days later, only 2 days later, January 25th of 2020, that was the day that China, immediately after they locked down the city of Wuhan, sent their top biowarfare expert, Dr. Chen Wei, who is a general, she was sent to Wuhan lab and took over control of the entire lab.
Now, how does 5G play into all this?
Well, it's a technology, right? Technology, there are two things. Let's talk about 5G. You know, we do have a lot to talk about, which also serve as a wake-up call. Now, 5G, now Trump administration stopped the 5G project in United States. At that time, several states here in the United States already signed up for 5G. They already installed 5G, actually. And we don't know how to deal with it. For those already installed, it takes a lot of money to, who is going to pay for those things. We don't know how to deal with that, but it was stopped. Now, let's talk about 5G. 5G usually is the second phase of China's Belt and Road project for a lot of countries. For example, Saudi, our good old friend Saudi, December of last year when China's chairman Xi visited Saudi, Saudi signed up for 5G. Usually what they do is they will come here, come to your country, they will help you build the freeways, public facilities, bridges, buildings. And then that's the first phase. And now if you can pay for it, a lot of countries not afford to pay for the debt because they really don't help your local economy. They bring their own equipment, their own money, their own material, and their own labor to do it, right? It doesn't really promote the local economy. Once they leave, your government will own a big debt. All these countries sign up, they will own a big debt to China. That's why it's called debt trap diplomacy. Now, however, for some of the countries, they are able to pay for the first phase of Belt and Road project, which Saudi is a typical example. Now, Saudi signed up the second phase. The second phase is, the Huawei, Chinese technological company, they will come to install your the communication system. Now, look at North Korea as a typical example. China, installed entire internet system for North Korea. Now, Chinese technology, it's got a backdoor. Once they install the technology and communication system for any of these countries, these countries will have no secret to Chinese government. So that's what it is. Now that's the first part of it. And number two, look at what happened.
Unfortunately, we have 20 seconds. I could talk to you forever about all this because I think it's all tying into what is going on into the Middle East. But you've got 20 seconds, Nancy. Thank you.
Well, China, it's an enemy. That's the conclusion. It's not a competitor. You think China is a competitor, you're wrong. That's what it is.
Nansu, thank you so much for joining me. How can people find you?
Yeah, go to the Epoch Times or somebody called Epic Times, Epic, Epoch, American Way, a Canadian Way. Both are fine. EpochTimes.com. That is actually theepochtimes.com. So you will find all of our publications.
Thank you again. I appreciate you joining me.
Thank you for having me.
Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
Relish the opportunity to be an outsider because it's the outsiders who change the world.
Perhaps you were born for such a time as this. Everyone I know takes vitamins and supplements. Field of Greens is a nutrient-dense superfood powder that helps with overall well-being, and it gives me and Ted the confidence that even when we don't always eat right, we're getting the important vitamins and nutrients that our bodies need. Visit fieldofgreens.com, and here's this. Use the promo code, you're not going to forget this, promo code FREEDOM, fieldofgreens.com and use the promo code FREEDOM to get all the fruits and veggies like spinach, parsley, kale, wheatgrass, apples, bananas in just one scoop. Fieldofgreens.com, promo code FREEDOM. Back in September, we interviewed a mom from Ashland, Oregon, who felt so burdened for the next generation's education that she found a local church who was willing to sponsor the start of a Christian school. Here was part of our interview.
Like, we need to put our money where our mouths are. If we're telling families, like, in terms of spiritual formation, the public school system is forming children in a way that does not correspond with the values of a believer or even just a more traditional thinker. So they're saying, if we actually are saying that, we believe that, we need to put our money where our mouths are. So this church, this little tiny church, has actually helped us sponsor every single child in a now brand new private school endeavor. It's just been incredible to witness.
Jenna Hayes joins us live now with her son, Daniel, to give us an update on how the school is doing. Jenna and Daniel, thank you so much for being here.
Hi, Shemaine. Thank you so much for having us. We appreciate it so much.
Hey, Daniel, how are you?
Good.
Good. So, Jenna, these last few months, how they've been treating you?
They've been great. Clearly a huge learning curve, as any brand new endeavor is, but it's been so fruitful, and I'm just watching the children flourish, love their new education. I just think it's been remarkable and everything that I hoped it would be. Lots of good hard work, but the proof is in the pudding. We have a bunch of happy, really amazing children here. So, yeah.
That is so awesome, because there's so much going on that's negative in this world. It's good to have a positive result of something that you've worked so hard in just a short period of time. Tell me about how the church and the community has rallied around this new school.
Yeah, so we live in a place where really there's not a lot of wealth, and yet this tiny little church has fundraised enough money to support every single scholar, to scholarship them, and to pay the tuition that's needed just to cover the bare bones costs. Otherwise, all these community members have rallied up volunteering their time to be mentors in the classroom with the kids, and we're accessing an online curriculum. So hybrid, but we call it a hybrid of a hybrid. So we put all the kids together in class together, but accessing the Un-American Classical Leadership Education online. So they get to be with all their friends, and then we carve out all these enrichment programs for them, and we have mentors in the classroom. So the kids are studying the great books, the classics, and they're receiving all sorts of wisdom from the mentors that they have in the classroom with them. And it's all volunteer-based, and the church has just allowed us to use the space. And in doing so, you know, it's really opened up an opportunity that's really hard to get, you know, to find a space at an affordable price for a private school. And it's just, I mean, really, it's a return to the historic use of the church building during the week, you know, minus the Sunday. Yeah. So,
absolutely. So, hey, Daniel, what is your favorite part of the school day?
What I'm thinking is basically work, like mathematics and humanities.
Mathematics. I was not good at mathematics. Could you help me a little bit sometime, Daniel?
What about flag ceremony in the morning? What do we do in the morning?
Stretch mostly and do runs.
So we do a whole, we pray, we open with prayer, flag ceremony, and then the kids do a pretty intense workout in the morning.
Really?
And then, and then they head in for class. So
I love that. I used to go to my son's school and teach phys ed. You know what? It's funny because he's 33 now, but when he was growing up, they were cutting phys ed classes. So I'm like, no, not on my watch. I've been teaching group fitness classes for 43 years. So I went in the school and taught that. But I was going to ask you, walk us through a typical day at school.
Sure. Yeah. So we start with everyone meets out at the flagpole, and the students open in prayer. And sometimes I'll have one of the scholars lead us in prayer. We do the Star Spangled Banner, and then we do the pledge. After that, we do a little uniform check, make sure everyone's shirts are all tucked in and all of the above. Then they do their workout. We head in at about 9 o'clock, and we start our circle time. And so we gather the scholars K through 8. And we read out of the great books. We do a Bible devotion time in the morning. We're actually, we have an intensive worldview curriculum that we do during that morning time. And it's to develop the critical thinking about the big questions, the big philosophical questions. But we know that to get those ideas, the right ideas into the kids' minds when they're young, helps them be able to assess ideas all through their life and discern what's true and what's not true and how to find objective data versus what's subjective and all those different things. And so it just starts young. And so they do a biblical worldview class, and then they dive into humanities, take a little break, get into their math classes, take a lunch break, come back, they do science, and then they have a study hall period, and that's to catch up. They do a lot of reading out of the great books, so they're catching up on reading, anything else that they have, you know, remaining to do in any of their core classes. And then the last hour of the day is enrichments, and so we do anything from starting some microeconomics teaching at, you know, grade level appropriate. We do all sorts of arts and crafts, classical music, classical arts. We had a canning class. A neighbor came in and taught the kids how to can their own food, some sustainable living things. I mean, it's just kind of this grab bag variety, but these skills that, you know, often are not taught in school anymore. Okay. And yeah, just developing these servant leaders. That's really the core of what we're doing is we're Christians. We're saying we serve the King, the ultimate servant leader, right? And so we're trying to instill that in the scholars and put in front of them the great books, the greatest ideas in Western civilization, and let them talk about it, write about it, and think about it. So that's pretty much the core.
I love that. Daniel, do you play any instruments?
Yeah, I play guitar and drums.
You do? Well, I know this guy who plays the guitar. Maybe your mom can show him a video that she chooses. Yeah. I don't know if you know. Maybe someday Ted could give you an online guitar lesson. How would you like that?
Awesome. That's so sweet. Thank you.
maybe it could be like for homeschool music class with Uncle Ted.
Oh my, that would be amazing, actually. That'd be awesome.
I know, right? Wouldn't that be fun? Who wouldn't want to go? So, Daniel, did you go to a traditional school before you went to, you're going to this school with your mom and at church now?
Yeah, I went to Pinehurst School, and it's like when you're coming from the highway, I guess coming from this side.
Be west of here.
West of here. Going down.
So, what do you like better?
School here.
Good. What is your, I know I asked you this before, but now having gone through the regular school day, all the things that you do from exercise to music, do you have a favorite subject?
I think it's mostly math.
You like the math, huh? Okay, I'm going to call on you sometime because I'm not good at math. Can you help me out? I'll tell you what. I'll get my husband to give you a guitar lesson and you help me with math, okay?
That's so awesome. Daniel was telling me a little bit ago, we were talking about what some of the differences were for him. And did you want to say about the great books, how you didn't read?
I didn't read very much when I was younger, but now I do read a lot.
Well, and at your previous school, they didn't read the great books. So they didn't read a lot of the classics. And that was a big difference. We talked about this morning a little bit too, but yeah.
And I realized that when I homeschooled my son too, that you really understand where they're falling behind and what subjects they're excelling in. And it's such a great opportunity to, you know, leave no child behind, literally, and really help them catch up. Are you finding that you're able, is this fun for you, Jenna?
It is. This is my sweet spot. And the way that I'm considering this year is we are seeing that deficit. I think that's sort of nationwide is the kids that have come in from public schools. We do see that deficit in grade level and comprehension and all of that. And yet, you know, rather than complain about it, we're just choosing to use this year as the investment year to build up the skills that were sort of lacking from their previous year's experience. And we have the ratio. I think we have the mentor to scholar ratio that really enables us to do that well. And I think that's the beauty of these micro schools. You know, I just saw that article, I think it was just a couple weeks ago in the Wall Street Journal, and it was just essentially declaring micro schools as the way forward, you know, just to respond to this parent demand that's across the nation. And I think what that does is that ratio enables that hypersensitivity to what the scholars are missing in terms of skills.
Yes.
You know, and so it's a unique opportunity to build for the scholars, you know, to invest in the foundation of the education for them. So
I love it. I love it. Jenna, Daniel, thank you so much for joining me. God bless you and have fun.
Thank you, Shemaine, so much. We really appreciate your show and this opportunity.
Thank you. God bless. Coming up, a new law in California should make parents everywhere concerned. Stay tuned.
Relish the opportunity to be an outsider because it's the outsiders who change the world.
Perhaps you were born for such a time as this. Do you sometimes feel like the government is trying to poison you through the air, soil, and water? Don't let that happen. We don't know what exactly is in our water. Maybe a little VOC, volatile organic compounds, maybe some pharmaceutical drugs, maybe some mRNA. Definitely just a little bit of arsenic. If you're concerned, like Ted and I are, we found Sentry Wellness System that removes harmful toxins and enriches water with essential nutrients that you need. It's much healthier and cheaper than buying plastic water. Check out Sentry H2O and use the promo code HEALTHY10 for a discount. That's Sentry H2O, HEALTHY10, and you got to get that discount. California Governor Gavin Newsom has signed into law a bill that allows children to be removed from their homes without evidence of abuse. Children over the age of 12 can be placed into residential shelters and undergo mental health treatment if they leave home, whether or not their parents or guardians have been consulted, without any evidence of abuse. Joining us live now to share more, Vice President and Legal Counsel with Advocates for Faith and Freedom, Mariah Gandero. Mariah, welcome.
Thank you for having me.
So this is just flat out disgusting and wrong. Share your perspective about what is going on in the state of California.
Oh boy, well, the state of California is a mess. I think everyone outside of California can see that. And it's astonishing to see all these bills coming out of the legislature. This is just a new slate of bills that have been passed directly usurping the rights of parents. This is a blatant violation of parental rights. California essentially wants to raise children on their own and indoctrinate them. It's clear on its face, in my opinion, that this bill is a violation of the Constitution, because typically under the law, you have to show that a child is in imminent harm or danger to remove a child, such as incest or abuse. But here, a child can emancipate from their parents if, for instance, their parents won't allow them to transition their gender.
Isn't this another move by the government just to claim the lives of our precious children and to pretend that they're better parents than we are?
Absolutely. I think that is a common tactic that you see in dictatorships and socialist countries, you know, the removal of parents from their children and the government becoming the parent of the children. And we all know that a government doesn't do a very good job of spending money, and they certainly don't do a very good job of raising your children. That's exactly what we see here. And it's really unfortunate because children at that age are in such an impressionable state. They're very vulnerable, and it's extremely important to have parents involved before they make a life-altering decision.
Of course it is. I mean, I homeschooled my son for 2 years, two different times, and I loved it. I know it's not for everybody, and there are parents that have to work, and they need to have assistance. But man, oh man, if my kid was in public school in the state of California, I would get them out pretty fast. Why did this happen? How did you see this happening?
Well, the California legislature is largely ran by Democrats at this point. And unfortunately, they control the media. They control the narrative. They propagate a lot of false narratives saying that, oh, this doesn't deny the right of parents. This is just another far-right conspiracy. And so I think people just kind of ignore what is going on. and they don't actually really do their own research and read the law. And also, I think that when you remove God from society, very bad things tend to happen.
Yes, that's it. It's like you give them an inch and they take a mile. They take 10 miles. Why do you think that previous legislation was not deemed enough for kids to be in unsafe homes? Why did they have to take that extra mile?
Well, I think they're looking at every single angle in which, you know, a parent could prevent their child from perhaps affirming, you know, or transitioning their gender. You know, a few months ago or earlier this year, it was the Transgender Sanctuary Bill where kids could come to California from any other state and receive gender affirming care. But now I think they want to make sure that kids in the state of California are not prevented from, you know, receiving mental health treatment, or that, you know, encourage it, that may encourage them that, hey, you're actually a boy or you're actually a girl. And so I think this is just another step that they're taking to, you know, remove parents from the picture. In addition to this, you also see them going after school districts who want to notify parents of their child's gender transition. They think that parents shouldn't even be involved in that. And so it is really disgusting, and it's almost mind-boggling to see all the different ways that they're trying to remove parents.
You know, I remember when my son was young, and even when I was a kid, I didn't like Brussels sprouts. You know, I couldn't make healthy choices for myself. It just boggles my mind that the California public school system and the government, Gavin Newsom, would challenge parents on their very own rights. I mean, what is the end game? What do you think that they actually want to do? Take all of the kids and put them into their own homes and not ever let them communicate with their parents?
Well, I think honestly, this is an example of us fighting, you know, we're not fighting against flesh and blood. You know, we're fighting against evil principalities. And that's the only way I can explain this, because no human in their right mind would ever want to remove children from their parents. And so I think this is just an evil agenda. They're being influenced by evil ideology. That's the only way I can explain it.
I totally agree with you. Do you ever run into parents who, let's say, were Democrat and they voted for Gavin Newsom and they voted for Biden, and they're seeing all these things coming around now and they're waking up? Do you ever talk to parents like that and wish they hadn't voted for those people?
Yes, I absolutely think a lot of people are waking up. I even have Democrat friends who are starting to wake up and be like, okay, this is getting way too far. You know, it started out kind of subtle, but now they're not so subtle about their agenda. And I think that is definitely waking up a lot of people with just basic common sense.
So what's the strategy from here for you and for your team? Do you think you're going to be challenging this, and what are the next steps?
Yes. Well, the next step is to ultimately hopefully find an organization that we can challenge this bill on behalf of, or an individual or a parent. But I know we're working with different teams, different people to figure out how to challenge these bills. To be honest, there was just so many of them and in a short amount of time that I think, you know, it's a big battle right now, and we don't have an enormous team. Unfortunately, we're really busy with what we're already focusing on in our current cases. And so I think right now we're trying to just find the bandwidth to be able to take on these new issues.
Well, how can people get involved? How can they help you and support you and contribute to your cause and potentially switching this and bringing our kids back home and under the guise of their own parents, the guidance of their own parents and not the state?
Well, you can reach us at faith-freedom.com. And then you can follow us on social media at Advocates for Faith and Freedom. And we're always looking for supporters. We need, obviously, money to survive. We're a nonprofit organization, and also prayer, because we're going up against a lot of very evil people.
Okay, one more question for you before we go. Why did you get involved in this? Why are you so passionate about it?
I don't know. I just hate bullies, and I hate people picking on those that are vulnerable. And I think that children are very vulnerable, you know, and it's people don't realize how impressionable they are and how vulnerable they are and how it doesn't take a lot for a child to become very confused or hurt, and that that experience could change the trajectory of their entire life. So I think we need to be fighting for our children and protecting them, protecting their minds, their spirit, their soul, so that they can, you know, be have an abundant life and not be carrying any baggage or, you know, just confusion. That's what it's about. I think it's just, it's pure evil to do this to children.
It is. Mariah, thank you so much for joining me. God bless you. And I hope we keep in touch.
Thank you so much for having me.
God bless. Thank you so much for watching. I'll be here next Sunday. I hope you will too. God bless. Esther 4:14, you were born for such a time as this.
Relish the opportunity to be an outsider, because it's the outsiders who change the world.
Perhaps you were born for such a time as this.